Hi, my name is Paul Dunay, and welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Props. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Bill Binch, the VP of Sales and Customer Success at Marketo. As the third part of an ongoing series, Sales is from Mars and Marketing is from Venus, held in conjunction with our friends at demand generation software provider Marketo, in this interview I'm going to talk to Bill and take a look at sales and marketing alignment and the issues that we have from a sales perspective. Bill is the VP of Sales and Customer Success, which I think is a very interesting title, by the way, Bill. He brings 16 years of direct and inside sales experience, including leadership positions at Oracle, PeopleSoft, and BEA Systems. So welcome to the podcast, Bill.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be talking with you.
Excellent. So, Bill, from your perspective as a sales executive, what really bugs you about marketing?
Well, there's a few areas. The first and obvious one is the misalignment. The marketing groups always seem to talk about leads, and frankly, Paul, I don't really care about leads. What I care about is pipeline and converting that pipeline into opportunities. That's kind of the key thing. But there's a few other areas of the misalignment. Marketers often think that it's a numbers game. And while I think the numbers matter, you can't lose sight of the fact that selling is about people. It's about understanding business problems and providing a solution that can solve those business problems. And that's the whole sales side of it. While there's a lot of marketing activity that goes on, I don't always see how that connects to and drives revenue. So while I want to trust the marketing team, it's really hard for me to make that connection. And finally, on that topic, I'd say there's the whole who sourced the lead type of thing. If you ask the salespeople, they, of course, found the lead. If you go ask the marketing organization, then they're the ones that found it.
Yeah, now there's a couple of really great points in there. First of all, you don't care about leads. Now, that struck me a little bit odd because you do care about pipeline, and you can't get pipeline without leads, right? I mean, it's sort of one begets the other, right? So help me understand how you see that from your perspective.
Yeah, that might be a harsh comment, but essentially as the leader of a revenue-producing organization, the leads become pipeline and the pipeline becomes opportunities. And so when marketing comes back to me with a high number of leads, that's not the end game that
right.
I'm looking for in sales.
Right, right. So you're more focused on, right, that's a good thing, you got a bunch of leads, but you know, tell me when they hit opportunities. That's what I'm really focused on.
Correct.
Right. And so I think that concept, you know, as a marketer, and I'm just, you know, editorializing on this, that's where we get into that numbers game thing. It's like, you know, we know if we put in enough of those things, enough of those opportunities are going to flow through to you, which gets us to the who brought it, right? Is it sourced by marketing or was it sourced by sales, right? And, you know, which gets into the whole lead nurturing thing. With our lead nurturing program, you know, we're hoping to source leads for sales, which I think is an interesting thing for marketing to be able to do. So with all the hoopla around lead nurturing and lead scoring, you know, it sometimes sounds like marketing thinks it's doing all the work and delivering customers that are like 100% ready to sign contracts from a sales perspective. Is that the perspective of someone like yourself from the sales side?
Well, I smile at that comment or question, Paul. I mean, first of all, I think the marketing side needs to be careful when talking about lead scoring. First of all, I think that sales and marketing need to work together to design the scoring system. That's just really key. Secondly, I think that you don't want a lead scoring system to be perceived as preventing sales from not getting leads, which oftentimes it unfortunately is. And thirdly on it is, I think while marketing is off nurturing a lead, you have to be cognizant that a competitor to your company could be in there with one of their sales reps actually making the direct dial and talking with that person. You know, and to lead from there, I'd say that around the nurturing and lead scoring idea, that you really need to encourage a sales culture within both organizations. There's a term I use back here at Marketo, is I like to say that salespeople like to eat what they kill. And what that means is that you need to be able to drive growth from selling and not just from ready-to-buy type of leads that are coming from marketing. I think that a lead that's coming from marketing sometimes, as I mentioned, suffers from the not invented here, meaning I didn't source it. Sales always tends to gravitate towards a lead or something that they've sourced themselves because they know where it came from. They trust it. And sales really needs to use some type of solution selling technique or methodology to turn what was discovered in a lead as a pain into a closable deal. The net-net or summary of that whole commentary is that it's not just about a straight linear handoff from marketing to sales. It's about working together. If marketing has a lead, it's okay and acceptable to have emails coming from sales. And likewise, if it's a sales source lead, it's okay for marketing to be still nurturing that lead, because essentially it comes down to being relevant in your customer's mind and being at the top of their mind, so that when it is time to close that deal, you've been there all along.
Right. So the two perspectives that I think are really interesting that you've just brought up within the whole lead scoring, lead nurturing, is, you know, sales likes to, as you said, eat what they kill, right? When marketing brings a lead that they believe is, you know, ready to eat, you know, it maybe doesn't get the attention that it possibly should. I think that's an interesting piece of it. And then the flip side of that coin is what you were saying about sales having something that's not 100% ready that could use some nurturing in the meantime. You know, there's also, I think, at least in some organizations, to help nurture that along, because, you know, we're not going to get credit for that, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a little bit of there's a dichotomy there, I think, is very interesting. And surely you must get some good leads from marketing. You know, is there maybe a different skill set, or do we need dedicated teams or something to deal with the ones that are coming from marketing? Is it maybe a different, you know, set of skills rather than the traditional set of skills?
Well, I certainly agree with you. There are leads, good leads coming from marketing. And in fact, that's really the business problem that Marketo solves, is the idea is about getting an abundance of good leads, making sure that the leads are considered credible and real and qualified. And we get that. I get that at Marketo. I think the sales team here feels pretty confident that we do have that type of relationship. But even if I do still get a good lead from marketing, there's still a bunch of work that gets overlooked sometimes that sales has to do. As I said earlier, people buy from people, not from companies. So you have to establish that relationship. You know, people look to have a person that they can trust, one throat to choke, as it's said in the industry often. The salespeople have to establish value. You have to create benefits for the customer and then create that linkage between the value and the benefits that you're bringing to the pain that they have. The salespeople still have to meet and talk with people, and I don't think that should be overlooked. You still have to get on the phone or get behind the windshield and go and influence and drive the decision makers. And finally, inside of accounts, I think that you're already established within, there's the goal of going wider and deeper within those accounts. So just some other ideas around the traditional sales skills that are still critical even after a good lead has been sourced.
Right. Okay. So what can sales and marketing do together a little bit differently, perhaps around lead scoring or lead nurturing?
Few ideas there that I'll share with you. Number one is, I think that we need to recognize that prospects are engaged in a process that they control. So kind of the old school, out-of-date marketing and sales concepts really aren't as valid in the complex sale today as I think they used to be. So I think what we need to do is certainly focus on enabling a frictionless revenue organization in today's complex revenue cycles. I think that's what really they require today, is trying to take the pointing of fingers away and really work together. And that's a new perspective. You know, it's not a sales cycle so much, it's a revenue cycle. And that really jointly combines, I think, what marketing and sales have to do together. And so, you know, I mentioned the linear handoff earlier. The old model of a linear handoff, you know, has to seed itself to becoming an intertwined model where both organizations really own the relationship and coordinate their activities with the prospects. And so I just like to paint an analogy or a picture of, it's kind of like a jet flying on one engine. You know, maybe it'll fly for a while, but that's really not your optimal way, especially if the jet has two engines. Why wouldn't you be using both? So okay. I think a couple of other things along the lines of what we can do differently or better, just a couple thoughts real quickly for you. I mentioned the term frictionless, but really synchronized activities between sales and marketing. Some examples that I think of are, you know, when a new prospect, you know, raises their hand or registers. You know, if a qualified prospect were to want to watch a demo on a website, most companies will send, you know, get their information, send them an autoresponder via email, and then they'll have the sales rep, you know, shortly follow up and call. But in a lot of cases, marketing and sales don't know that's happening or when it's happening. And so that's a perfect example of things that we can do better. And another one is, you know, follow up after a sale has been done. Maybe, for example, a letter being triggered once a sale is moved or an opportunity is moved to a closed sale, trigger a letter from the CEO welcoming a customer on board and becoming a customer and establishing that relationship and deepening, hopefully, that relationship. And then finally, another idea that I really look at of how marketing and sales work best together is once a sale is done, you want to try an upsell or cross-sell. And typically what happens today is customers are handed right back to marketing once the deal's done and sales moves on. And it makes it difficult for sales to maintain that relationship and grow that relationship when it comes time to do the upsell. So, you know, the idea of a frictionless relationship to me is, you know, what if that customer received an ongoing set of personalized communications? And when I say personalized, that could be specific. We know that they bought product A, and we know that we want to upsell them product B. And so we could personalize those communications to that product over the time and start them down the path of a nurturing campaign.
Right. So you're saying, you know, start the next sale the second after the first sale is made, almost.
Exactly.
Right. So that your lead nurturing program isn't just a straight shot, it is, you know, a single shot that brings in, you know, an initial customer, and then it sort of branches out or trees out from there where it has another leg on it that's, you know, this is the next likely thing that they could possibly want or something that we should be talking to them about, and recognizes what they've already purchased and maybe does continued reinforcement on that, but also presents other opportunities that branch out from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had many leaders of organizations I've been in come back and say, I want every customer by this date to have had the elevator pitch done for this product. And it's a manual process. It takes the head of the organization to come in and demand that be done. And what I'm proposing is, in that frictionless idea, is the frictionless concept is the second that you've established the customer, then really start to own that customer, have a personal relationship with that customer, and that can be done by both sales and from marketing.
Very good. Okay. So any last words of wisdom, any last tips or suggestions potentially for marketers?
So back to my first profound comment is, forget about the lead concept as being the key metric and start thinking about what sales thinks about, and that's pipeline and converting that pipeline into opportunities. That's the key takeaway. If there was one thing that I wanted to get clear of the whole, sales is from Mars and marketing is from Venus, is that sales, we think of things in terms of pipeline and opportunities, and it often appears to us that marketing thinks about it in terms of leads. So that's number one. And then number two is what we were just talking about, is helping develop personal relationships with the prospects by sending personalized campaigns on behalf of sales, which helps us build a stronger relationship, alerting the sales rep when a prospect or customer responds to a campaign and shows key behaviors like visiting a website repeatedly or watching multiple videos from your website. And third and finally, provide visibility to all the data that marketing has and knows about what the customer wants. You know, sales reps want to know the source of the lead if they didn't find it themselves. They want to know what products the prospect is interested in. They're interested in the information that the prospect already knows about their product, which means where they've visited on their site. And then finally, the seriousness of where they're at in the cycle. You know, are they looking to make a purchase or are they just kicking tires? All of that really just enables the rep to be able to speak to the customer in the most educated and relevant manner possible.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining me today, Bill. I really appreciate your time. And for our listeners, now it's your turn. Please let us know what you think about sales versus marketing in your company. We would be glad to keep this conversation going with you online, and we'll be back again next week with another podcast. So thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to having you back next week on another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast.